Now, we were talking about Captain Nemo and 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea and the last From Earth to the Moon, describing how people could be launched to the moon in a large cannon. Well, this week, writing in the journal Nature, researchers reported on what they think might be a good spot to aim for if you're going to shoot that cannon or possibly drop somebody by modern rocketry there if your goal is setting up a permanent moon base. Joining me to talk about it is Ben Bussey of the Applied Physics Lab at Johns Hopkins University. He's one of the authors of that paper. He joins us by phone from the UK. Welcome to Science Friday.
Good to be talking with you.
And now I understand this place that you found on the moon, is it? You think it might be in sunlight all the time?
Yes, we discovered several regions close to the north pole of the moon that were constantly illuminated during a whole lunar day in summer and have the potential to maybe be permanently illuminated.
How does that happen? There must be the axis of the moon must be tilted a bit then.
Oh, actually, it's not tilted very much.
Yeah.
Whereas the Earth is tilted about 23 degrees, which is why places experience such big extremes between summer and winter, the moon is only tilted about 1.5 degrees. Now, this means that were you to stand at a lunar pole, the sun would be on the horizon. And over one lunar day, that's about 29 Earth days, the sun would just do a great circle around the horizon. And if you could stay there a whole year, the center of the sun in midsummer would only be 1.5 degrees above the horizon, and at midwinter it would be 1.5 degrees below. So this means that if you've got places which are relatively high close to the pole, you may be high enough to peek over the horizon and potentially always see the sun.
So you think you found a couple of locations, craters, where the sun might be shining all the time?
It's actually the rim of a large impact crater called Peary, named after a famous American explorer.
Admiral.
We found three reasonably sized areas on the rim of Peary, so relatively high, that, like I said, were constantly illuminated during a day in summer.
And so how balmy would it get there in the summertime?
Well, that's one of the temperatures, one of the two reasons we think these would be a great place to go. Whereas a base at the equator of the moon would range from something like minus 150 Celsius at midnight to about plus 100 at midday, somewhere that was constantly illuminated would be something like a constant minus 50 Celsius. So that would minus 58 Fahrenheit. So much easier to design engineering.
It's a cold day in Minnesota during the winter.
Indeed.
And so do you think that this might be a good spot to aim for if you were to create a lunar base?
Yes. Not only is it relatively easy from an engineering point of view, if it is constantly illuminated, you obviously have constant solar power available and obviously power something that's very important to a base. These areas are in close proximity to permanently shadowed craters close to the pole, which may contain water ice, and ice would be a good resource for a base.
So there might be places, but they'd have to be in the shade so that the sun wouldn't melt them.
Exactly. Because of the spin axis of the moon, like high places can always see the sun, the floors of impact craters are deep enough that they never see the sun.
Uh-huh.
And these places are really cold, only about 50 degrees above absolute zero. And so any water molecules that enter from cometary and asteroid impact would never be able to leave. So over billions of years, it's quite possible that we may have fairly large ice deposits close to both poles.
Hmm. We're talking about a possible exploration site on the moon where there might always be sunlight this hour, and Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. How was this discovered, and why did we find it now?
NASA sent a mission to the moon back in 1994 called Clementine, and Clementine had four essentially sort of digital cameras, which took fairly detailed pictures of the whole first mission, in fact, to take pictures of the entire moon digitally. And we'd studied these images a few years ago looking at the South Pole, and we decided to turn our attention to the North Pole, and it's analyzing these images that gave us our exciting result.
Now, explain to those of us who may have a visual picture, visually challenged on why it might be bright on one side, one spot on the moon all the time, but not be bright, let's say, on the South Pole like we have, the seasons change. Why is there no season change on the moon like there is on the Earth when the axis is tilted?
No, there is a season change, and in fact, one of the key pieces of information we need to know is exactly how extreme the seasonal change is.
Mm-hmm.
Clementine orbited the moon for 71 Earth days, which is a little more than two lunar days, and it arrived just after midsummer in the northern hemisphere. So we have a view of what the South Pole looks like in winter, and what the North Pole looks like in summer. But we really want data 6 months later, seasonally, to really be able to narrow down the illumination conditions.
Yeah, but on Earth, the South Pole is in the dark 6 months of the year, and so is the North Pole. But here you're saying it's in the sunlight all year.
That's because it's just an effect of local topography. The moon is quite rugged, and you have hills superimposed on top of the rims of an impact crater close to the pole. So these hills just are a special case. They just happen to be in the right place from a geometric point of view, that the sun, certainly in the summer, always illuminates the top of these hills at a grazing angle. And they have the potential maybe to have the same thing happen in winter.
Now, are astronomers, I should say NASA and other European space agencies, are they actually looking for places like this?
Well, yes. European Space Agency has a mission at the moment which will provide more information. And then there are two more missions later in the decade which will take very detailed data of the moon, specifically the poles. India is launching a mission called Chandrayaan-1 in the fall of 2007. And in fact, I'm part of a team which has a US-led radar experiment on that mission, which is designed specifically to try and locate the ice deposits. And then in 2008, NASA is launching a mission called Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, which will also obtain some key data sets of the poles.
Now, are these places, you said they're on a plateau, are they flat enough to make a good landing spot if we wanted to send a mission there?
We really need slightly better images to be sure, but we know it's essentially lunar highlands areas, and the moon essentially looks the same everywhere. Lunar highlands at the poles won't look any different than lunar highlands at the equator. There's nothing magical in that way. And you can look at any sort of Apollo 16 surface imagery. We'll probably give any of your listeners who are interested a good idea of what the polar areas probably look like.
Huh. And this is the kind of place that you would actually be looking for to set down on.
Exactly. It has the potential to be an ideal site, again, because you've got constant energy, a reasonable temperature, and in close proximity to ice. Ice is a very major resource because not only is it water and you can convert it to oxygen, but hydrogen and oxygen is obviously rocket fuel, so you can actually make your own fuel to use the moon as a launching pad to go elsewhere in the solar system or just back to Earth.
And the fact that the sun is so low on the horizon all the time, does that mean you cannot get a lot of solar energy out of it?
No, because all you have to do is really you just tilt yourself. You would have vertical solar panels rather than the normal horizontal ones that you see when you look at something like the Mars rovers.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you for taking time to talk with us, and we'll be watching this and looking for results from your missions coming up.
Well, you're very welcome.
Thank you for joining us. It's very, very exciting. We're talking with Ben Bussey of the Applied Physical Laboratory, Johns Hopkins University. He's author of a paper in Nature that described a permanent moon base possibility. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to switch gears and talk a little bit more about the Jules Verne legacy. And you remember he talked about going to the center of the Earth? Well, what's the modern version of that? Stay with us. We'll be right back.